The Burt Show.
Desperate Housewives last night. Jen, I can't believe you missed Desperate Housewives. That's like your only appointment television.
I know, but it's TiVo. So you can't tell me too much because I'm going to watch it tonight.
All right, I'll just give you what happens in the first couple of minutes of the show. Because I keyed in on one thing during the show here. There are actually a couple of pretty decent storylines. But Terry Hatcher's mom has been living with Terry Hatcher for a while now, right?
Driving her crazy, just kind of like that last Burt Show listener we were talking about.
Pretty much, same thing. Driving her absolutely nuts. Well, in the beginning of the show, the mother's ex-boyfriend shows up to the house.
Okay.
Okay? And he proposes to Terry Hatcher's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Hatcher's all relieved because she's going to get her mom out of the house and all. But here's a little bit how the proposal goes right here, okay?
Oh. Did this ring belong to Dolores?
You gave her your dead wife's ring?
It's a 3-carat diamond. I mean, she shouldn't care if it's used. Sophie, would you do me the honor of marrying me?
Sophie Bremer was still a hopeless romantic.
On one condition. Tomorrow, you trade this in for a ring of my own, and I want a bigger diamond than Dolores got.
But she was no longer naive.
All right, there are a couple of things that are so wrong about that, obviously.
Well, the fact that he was using another woman's ring, engagement ring, to give to her, you know, was wrong. But I think, you know, and I thought last night that based on their age is the reason she forgave him and just gave, you know what, just trade that in and get me a bigger diamond, where if they had been in their 20s, I think they would have broken up.
Yeah, that's the thing I want to focus in on. That's the thing I want to focus in on right there. It's the size of the ring. Does it have to be necessarily bigger than the ex? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, yes. Because
it does?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, this made me think of something that I read like last week. And I know that, you know, Jen in Entertainment Buzz keeps talking about, you know, Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck. And the thing that I read about the fact that the diamond band, he's given her a diamond band and it's worth $500,000. Okay. Now, if you remember back when he proposed to J-Lo, that was a $2.5 million 6-carat ring. Now, Jennifer Garner, you know, does not have as nice of a ring on her finger as J-Lo did, but Mark Anthony, his engagement ring to J-Lo was actually a 7-carat ring, so he made sure that his engagement ring was bigger than Ben Affleck, so Jennifer Garner's kind of getting the shaft and all that. But I do think that if you were the next one, I think it has to be bigger.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask women. Like, if you're the woman getting the ring now and you know he was either engaged or married previously, would you make the demand that the ring that you get from your man is bigger than the previous ring?
Like, in a conversation before you get engaged, you tell him.
Do you?
It better be bigger? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Is that how it works? I mean, is it really that important?
I think the guy,
it should be understood,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think a guy would just know that. Like, wouldn't you want to do that as a guy?
But how would you find that out? Like, you'd go up to Jessica and you'd say, so how big was that ring that you had before?
I don't think women are secretive about that. Like, you know, like, I almost think it would come out with, yeah, and then he tried to marry. I should have known it was over when he gave me a measly 3-carat ring. Then you're like, oh, damn it.
Gotta upgrade on that one.
Shoot.
So somehow, some way, you have to make it known what the size of the ring was. So this dance has to go on. And then a guy has to, absolutely must, get a bigger ring.
Well, the thing is also, though, like in last night's example, he had already been with somebody else. So it should be understood if the guy had proposed to someone else before he's proposed to the woman he's talking to now, he knew how much that old ring, you know, how big it was. So a guy has no excuse if he's done the proposing the whole time on to get
right.
Something bigger, you know. But if she's been engaged before, there's a way to find out from friends, from mother, you know, like it doesn't have to be her.
And then how do you, I'm still a little confused on how you let him know.
Okay, you know what, Bert? Again, make a woman feel special. And if you are with this woman now and you've been with somebody else before, you make things bigger and better because you're making her feel special.
Yeah, but think about it in your own relationship. It'll make more sense. If you had proposed to Chandra and given her a big old, you know, 2-carat ring, and then when you and Stacy decided to get engaged, think about not upgrading it from that.
Yeah.
And you'd be paying for it the rest of your life.
Hey, Jamie.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey.
What's up?
Yeah, I just got married, and my husband had previously been married, and my ring is bigger.
Now was that understood, or did you have to say something to him?
Oh, I didn't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, a few years later, you're also in different financial positions as well, so it should be larger.
If that's how you want to justify it, that's
fine. Right.
That's fine exactly with us. Right.
Good morning, Lisa. You're on all the hits,
Q100. It's Liza. But I was just saying that I don't understand why women want a bigger ring. All that matters is if he loves you or not.
Oh, come on. Who are you? You do not have real breasts.
Oh, I swear. Well, actually, no, I don't have any breasts at all. My breasts are really small.
That's what I mean. You're not a real woman.
Oh, come on.
Just
that's ridiculous.
Because I don't want a bigger diamond doesn't make me not a woman.
That makes you more of a woman to me.
I just don't like, I don't think it's right to base your love on a material possession.
It's not right, but that's the way women operate.
Not me.
I will never have an engagement ring, but I get it, okay? And the thing is, it's about competition. It's always about competition. If you talk about superficial, this superficial, that with the engagement ring, but women are always competitive with their man's ex-girlfriends and want to make sure that she's prettier, that she, you know, like, it's just about competition. If a guy got an engagement ring, it'd be the same thing.
Well, I can understand the competition area, but I would do it on a different level. It doesn't have to be a bigger diamond. Just, you know, make sure the proposal's better.
Yeah, so long as you got the man in the end, why would it matter what size the ring is?
So that's the way I feel.
But see, she hung up. I wanted to ask her if she was married or engaged, because that's fine in theory.
Right.
But once you apply it to reality in your own relationship, things change. That's why I brought up the ex-girlfriend, the Chandra thing, because it brings it all in perspective. Like, yes, you're right. Stacey's not materialistic, and she, you know, would be absolutely in love with you anyway and married to you anyway. But had that ex-girlfriend gotten a bigger ring, forget it. All of that theory, that nice little, you know, hippie earth mother thing goes out the window.
You will never hear the words come out of my wife out of my mouth that my wife is not materialistic. I promise you that. And she would agree if she was in here.
Really?
Yes. Hey, Sydney, you're on all the hits, Q100.
Good morning, Bert. Shell, how is everybody?
Good. How are you?
Good. You guys are just awesome.
Thank you.
We know.
I was listening and I wanted to make a comment that comparing Jennifer Garner and J-Lo, first of all, they're totally different people.
Doesn't matter.
J-Lo is really flashy and showy. Jennifer Garner is much more refined.
Doesn't matter.
And that made me think about the fact that, you know, an engagement ring really needs to reflect the woman. And so if you've got a woman who is refined and tasteful and she would prefer something probably more delicate and more attractive.
That's fine on paper. That's like, you know what I mean? That's like, it's like, what's the freaking bowl conference thing that you guys talk about every year, the BCS, where it all is supposed to come together on paper, but then somehow, like, you know, Gonzaga, whose basketball team ends up winning the football, you know, championship because of the way they put their math together.
Uh-huh.
That's the same thing. You go, oh, she's a different type of woman. She wouldn't want to be that showy. But the bottom line is that Jennifer Lopez still trumped her ring by $2 million. And everyone knows that. So in the back of her mind.
You think she's holding on to that?
I think it's in the back of her mind that J-Lo was good enough for a $2 million ring, a house in Savannah, all this other stuff. And Jay Garn has got herself, you know.
I guarantee.
Like percentage-wise, it's 20%. If you had bought Chandra a $10,000 ring and then Stacey a $2,000 ring.
I guarantee before this is over with, because Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck have been trying to keep their relationship subtle, that this love band, this diamond $500,000 love band is going to be accentuated with a fine rock before this is over with.
I think so, too.
More expensive than J-Lo's.
Absolutely.
I think it can be understated. Like, I don't think, because the one that he got for J-Lo was like that pink, humongous one stone rock that was like really, you know, like the last caller said, like flashier or whatever, like just more, you know, just more showy. And maybe Jennifer Garner's personality is to have something a little bit more subdued. As long as he spends more money,
right.
I think the style can be different. It could be a fat band and it could be flat. Like maybe there wouldn't even be a solitaire on there. And maybe it was just, you know, maybe a different designer that's more expensive. I think it could be a different style, more subdued style, but still's got to cost more.
He should just give her an old Tic Tac box filled with loose stones. go, look, here's $3 million worth of diamonds.
Even that doesn't do it.
You're more important to me than J-Lo, so here you go.
Hey, Michelle, you're on all the hits, Q100, or not.
You can just shake out what you want.
Sorry. But even then, that would, you didn't think plan ahead enough to put those actually in a ring for me? You're making me do it? It's all on me? What are you talking about? You don't love me? You love J-Lo. See, it'd be a problem.
Good morning, Kelly. You'd be the last call. Go ahead.
Okay, I am divorced. And currently in a relationship with a man who's also divorced. And my ex-husband had been previously married. And mm-hmm. when he gave me a ring, I never once thought about it. And now I think about getting engaged again. And I think to myself, oh, my God, if he ever proposes, the Burt Show is going to be in my head the day that he does it.
That's where we want to be.
What did you do with your old engagement ring? I'm curious.
It's still sitting in a box in the drawer.
So now how are you going to tell him what size that ring was so he knows?
To tell you the truth, I had never even thought about it. Even when my ex-husband, who had been previously married, proposed, I never thought about his ex-wife's ring, ever. And now, all of a sudden, now, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be like, it's got to be bigger.
Turning healthy women unhealthy.
That's right. Yeah,
you're welcome.
That's what we're all about.
Glad to help.
Thank us later. Bye, Kelly.
Bye.
The Burt Show.
Hey, this is Mikey, and this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the first time, trying something new can be hard. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. With high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action almost every night, the action never stops, and Prize Picks lets you take control. You know, the other day I watched a friend of mine enter $50 for Ole Miss to beat Miami. He's out $50. Some people just don't know how to pick them. Hey everybody, new feature alert. PrizePicks now has early payouts. If your player gets off to a hot start, you now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Get in on the action. PrizePicks is now available in all 50 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Download the PrizePicks app today and use code BERTSHOW to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code BERTSHOW to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
All right, Melissa was telling us about this one couple that's getting ready to sue because of their sexual injuries.
Yes, ooh. There was a couple in China that is suing the hotel because the guy during their interlude fell out of the bed and broke his arm.
He admitted to this?
Yes, because he his surgery cost like almost $2,500, so he's suing the hotel for this, saying that the hotel had provided unsafe facilities.
Oh, hey, Ken, you want to start us off?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
During intercourse, I had some excruciating pain. Mm. Couldn't figure out what it was. Ended up in the emergency room to find out that one of my testicles had turned around backwards.
That's actually not very uncommon. It's called torsion of the testicle, I swear to God. It happened to me before.
No way.
Yeah.
Cuts off circulation, and it is painful. God.
Yeah.
I thought Torsion of the Testicle was a band that you guys played down there.
They're opening up, for you too.
Wow, you've had this happen?
Yeah, I've actually had that happen before, where it literally will just, your testicle will twist inside the sac, and it is extremely painful.
Ew.
And it can actually swell up. Yeah. It's not an uncommon problem for men.
Is that your only sexual injury story? Because you have dozens.
Oh, yeah. Please.
I bet you've got torsion of a lot of things.
I used to have women sign waivers. No, one time that really just came to mind when Bert just caught me and he's like, quick, think of a story. And I'm like, picture that the year is 1987 and I owned a waterbed. This is how cool I was.
Oh, no.
The girl I was dating at the time, we stripped off all the sheets. And, of course, you've got that really smooth surface there. We covered it with baby oil. So, literally, we couldn't hold our footing. I mean, we were sliding, slipping everywhere. We began the act. God, I don't want to be too disgusting. We began the act with her on her hands and knees. So, you know what's going on. Literally, during the action, she slid forward so much, so fast. Both her knees caught the railing of the edge of the bed. And she went over and hit her head on the floor. And I was just kind of standing there. It's almost like I just pushed her on a sheet of ice.
Hey, just a heads up, Crash. Fat kid's outside the door, and I'm really hoping he doesn't have a story.
I want to let women know that if you get hurt during sex and it's really bad, that while guys are trying to comfort you, inside they're going, yeah!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! She's bleeding. Right on!
Okay.
From an external injury.
I'd like to go on the record and say that's not true. Bert's just speaking for himself.
Hey, Art, you're on all the hits, Q100.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey.
Back in high school, I used to have
76 Nova. So
yeah,
there you go,
bragger.
Slant six, baby.
The front seat is like a couch, so you could move the front seat and do some things people typically do in the back seat.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we weren't exactly having intercourse yet. I was warming her up.
No. Uh-huh.
And I have a chronic separating shoulder.
Oh no!
So I'm stuffed down in front of the seat and on the passenger side, and I just, it was getting good. I kind of moved, and my arm popped out.
Oh. Well, better your arm popped out.
She thinks I'm, you know, screaming. I don't know to make it better for her, but then she realized that there's a problem and just kind of totally freaked her out. Obviously, we didn't finish, and I also never got any further with her.
No doubt, man. Well, if it's going to be a popped shoulder or a reversed testicle, I'm taking the popped shoulder.
He had torsion of the shoulder.
Shannon, you're on All the Hits Q100.
Hi. Well, my boyfriend and I were at a subdivision looking at brand new houses that we were looking at possibly buying, and we decided we were looking at the master bedroom and the master bathroom, and we're in the master bathroom and discussing different things we could possibly proceed to do in the bathroom, and one thing leads to another, and we lean against the shower door, and the shower door collapses and breaks, and he takes me to the emergency room to have the shower glass door pieces removed from my buttocks.
How are you going to explain that
man.
One?
Glass in the ass, room 7. Ow.
Wow.
Melissa, you want to pitch in?
Well, I don't, it's not a broken, now that I hear the stories, it's not a broken bone or anything like that, but back a long time ago when I would have public interludes, there was a session I was having with someone near a creek, and somehow the creek water, you know, got somehow in certain places, and the creek, you know, creeks in Georgia are not very clean, and so I ended up having this massive infection that I had to get taken care of. And the gynecologist, how did she put it? I can't say.
Come on,
how did
she say it?
She said, I've never seen so much bacteria in one person in all my life.
Oh,
is what
no
she
way.
Said. And that was because of, yeah, when I used to have public sex.
Don't they teach you stuff like that in medical school? Like, you should never look at somebody's injury and goes, I have never seen something so big and disgusting my entire
especially
life.
When your gynecologist is saying that's
right.
Not, you don't feel very confident after that.
You had creak in the crack?
Oh, God. I'm just surprised you sat down in the creek. I was a little, I wasn't, the creek was not the first thing that I was, that was not.
Right,
was
not
in
your mind.
Yeah, no.
Hey, Pete, you're on All the Hits Q100, hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, my brother, during the height of passion, actually had an aneurysm that fortunately didn't rupture, but spent the next 3 to 4 days in the hospital having to explain how that happened.
Damn.
Wow.
He just get this massive, headache and then had to stop?
Yeah. And I had to pick my mom up from a trip she was on and bring her back, and she's like, well, how did it happen? And I'm like, well, let's just get you there and let's talk to the doctors.
But then later on you brag about it. Once your life is not on the line anymore, then you're like, guess what happened?
Dude, I ruptured a blood vessel in my brain.
Speaking of that, I was once self-pleasuring and ruptured a blood vessel there. And let me tell you something. It went to 5 times its size. I had to show my dad. It looked like a Zeppelin on a crayon. It was horrific. Seriously. I ruptured a blood vessel somewhere within my thingy, and it just literally, it went like 5 times its size. It was just like a giant bloated cantaloupe, and I freaked out.
I bet.
And that's what it was. Of course, what does my dad do? He starts cracking up.
Of course he does.
Yeah, because he knew what it was.
You're a little rough on yourself, don't you think there, Wally?
Oh, I was getting it. Don't you go. No, you. I'll give you something to cry about.
Yelling at himself.
Who's your daddy?
Who's my daddy?
You all right there, Jen?
So violent.
Seriously.
The imagery is just too much to handle.
Yeah, I think, seriously, Fat Kid was looking for you.
Hey, Yvonne, you're on All the Hits Q100.
Yvonne, hello. I am here to tell you guys from first-hand experience that lockjaw is real.
Oh, my God.
It is so real. And I was too embarrassed to go to the emergency room, so I made my husband make a fist and hit me with the top of his hand to, like, pop it back in place.
Oh, God.
I mean, what am I going to do? I couldn't even talk. How am I going to explain to him how it happened?
So your husband hits you in the head to unlock your jaw?
No, actually, the bottom, I couldn't close my mouth. It got locked. I couldn't close my mouth.
Oh, from the bottom.
Up.
I think, yeah, that a lot of women have felt close to that happening.
Yeah, because after a while, you know, you're like, okay, yeah.
But that's a good thing,
though. You think that the pain is just going to eventually numb itself. Yeah. Until like you try to close your mouth, and you can't close your mouth.
Oh, man.
Jen, demonstrate that again for me.
How does that mean? I was just saying that, like...
That's okay, prevert.
Yeah, the places, like, where your jaw connects, you can definitely feel stress.
Yeah, totally, compromise. But wow. I couldn't close in it, and I could feel it getting swollen more and more, and I just finally looked at
your
him,
jaw?
And I took his fist, and I just kind of gestured, you know, hit it.
Can I tell you how that story is going to haunt so many women when you start to feel just that little twinge right there for now?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
They're going to remember me having to have my husband go, hit it. And they're going to stop before they get to that
point.
Yeah,
at least it was her husband.
Yeah.
I've been married for 18 years. We've done it all, people.
Right. Yeah. So at least you were comfortable enough to say that. Can you imagine?
Well, here's some advice then for all the men that are listening. From now on, when that happens, when your wife is finished, just give her an uppercut. Everything will be fine.
How about a preemptive hit? Just to make sure it's not going to happen. Here you go. Morning, all the hits, Q100.
Hey, we had some friends over. They spent the night in the bunk beds. They were the metal framed.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the night, I heard them calling my name, which I thought was very strange. Whoa. I had to unlock the door and go in. He had been swinging from the bottom of the bed into her and thrown his shoulder out of joint. And we had to call an ambulance in because she was pinned underneath him.
He's still laughing. How many years ago was that?
Five and a half.
Still laughing about
that
it.
That is good.
I think the strangest thing is when you know they're having sex and you don't realize what's going on and they're screaming out your name in the house.
Like,
you're
wait a minute.
Yeah. Hey. Too random. The Burt Show. Voice disguise are on?
Yes.
Okay, we are going to call you Jennifer as in Jennifer Wilbanks. Good morning.
How about just Wilbanks?
Wilbanks.
How about crazy eyes?
I'm not Wilbanks.
You're this close, though.
What surprisingly is my fiance's in bed and I told him I was going for a run.
Ouch.
Oh, wow.
I guess I should have rethought that, huh?
Yeah.
So he's actually in the other room right now?
No. I'm out of the apartment. I went for a run. He's asleep. Oh,
okay. You didn't bring any scissors with you, did you?
No.
Not trying to catch a cab or anything. Going run into the library.
Are you wearing your engagement ring?
I am wearing.
Oh, that's a good sign.
I've been spotted wearing the ring.
No bus tickets, nothing like that. Okay.
No.
All right, give us a little history here, Wilbanks. How long have you guys been married? Or how long have you been going out, I mean? When did you get engaged? And lead us right up to the cold feet thing.
Okay, we started dating. About 3 years ago. We've known each other seriously since I was like 3 years old. We have a child together. We got engaged on Christmas Eve. Originally, we're going to do a wedding later on in the year, but decided to move it up. Really fine up until this point. He has a best friend that he actually dated in high school, kind of like the first girlfriend and everything, and they remained really good friends afterwards. So he respects her opinion a lot. But when he told her that we were going to ask me to marry him, she said, I guess do whatever makes you happy, but why her? Even though we've been together for so long and everything.
Okay.
So basically she's the type that she doesn't want him. She don't want anyone else to want him.
Are you
kind of thing.
Are you sure she doesn't want him?
Well, I've always had my doubts, but I just put it out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But up until now, and because the other day, he was talking to her. He was like, are you coming to the wedding, just making sure and everything? She was like, yep, I'll be there. Just like a really snooty type of I've got something going on type attitude. And he told me, like, as a joke, like thinking it would be funny if that happened. And it's not funny. So, just kind of nervous about what's going to happen. During the ceremony, I guess, or if she does have ulterior motives, or so, and it's tomorrow. so I don't really know what to do.
Well, what would he say if you told him that she was uninvited?
Oh, no.
That'd be pretty interesting.
I mean, just her. He's friends with, like, her entire family, too. And so they're coming to the wedding as well.
I can understand how this would cause you, like, some stress and all. But, I mean, to call off the entire wedding over it?
Oh, no. I'm not going to call off the wedding. Okay. I'm worried that there's going to be a fight in the middle of it.
Ooh.
If she does happen to say something. I know for a fact I've got a couple of my friends who I told that I thought something of that, you know, got the eagle eye on her during the ceremony. I said, if she stands up, you run after him.
The last line of your email says, I need to know if this is cold feet or if this might really be a problem.
Yeah.
So when you say, is this cold feet, you're not for a second thinking about calling off the wedding over this. The wedding, you're fine with that.
You're fine with him.
You're fine with him. You're fine with the wedding.
Fine with him that I know, but I know how a lot of brides, you know, like right, like the hour before, you know, get very, very nervous, very, very antsy, and think big things of small things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to see if I'm making a huge deal out of this small little thing, you know, little problem, or if it could potentially, because there are girls out there that are that bold to try to do that.
All right, Ms. Wilbanks, let me ask you a question. So in order to determine that, I think we need to know, has there been any issues with this woman? You said you've dated your boyfriend for 3 years, and I'm curious if there's been issues with her in those 3 years, not just now.
You mean issues of her telling him the same thing like this?
Well, I mean, issues that, I mean, with you and their friendship, you know, you say that they're best friends, but they were also each other's first.
Right.
You know, so I'm curious, how has she affected your relationship with your fiance in the 3 years you've been together?
Well, basically, like, it's like she would try to befriend me for him, but it's always like she had some kind of attitude every time we were around or something. And once, actually, well, it was a long time ago when we were first together, tried to talk me out of being with him because she thought that he wasn't ready for a relationship. So she's tried to talk me out of it before, and just her attitude and the way that she has such strong opinions toward, you know, that he most of the time doesn't ever act on. But, you know, you never know what that one thing you can say that could, you know, who knows if she says something to him tomorrow.
Melissa's,
you know,
shaking her head. What's up?
Well, my concern number one is I don't think she doesn't want him. You said she doesn't want him for herself, but she doesn't want him for anybody else either. I don't agree that she doesn't want him. And two, I'm concerned because, you know, okay, the ceremony, let's say it goes without a hitch tomorrow. There's still issues with this woman, I think, in your relationship. And I think that, you know, you hope that friends of each person in the relationship is going to respect that relationship and be supportive. And I don't know. I just really, I'm confused as to why you and him have never had a conversation about her before, because I have the feeling that I would have brought it up, because mm-hmm. she does not sound like a best friend, good friend to everybody. She sounds like somebody who is trying to sabotage your relationship.
Right. I have talked to him about it before, and he just had reassured me, you know, this is our relationship, and she, you know, doesn't run our relationship. It's on us and not her, and, you know, she's just got strong opinions, and, you know, she can be a brat, and, you know, I would just ignore her, is what he's told me.
From a guy's perspective, I'm curious for Bert and Jeff's opinion on this. Like, is it possible that he's unaware of his, you know, buddy being this much of a pain in the butt to his soon-to-be wife? Like, is it possible that he is like, oh, no big deal, she's just my friend?
Yeah, we understate everything. Guys understate everything, where women are more complicated, you know? Maybe you guys either see into things more than we do or see them for what they are more than we do. I think we're pretty basic creatures.
Yeah, I definitely think that women have a different perspective than guys in situations like that, and I think we are not intentionally, or her fiance is not intentionally playing it down, but he, like, we, like, girl, I think on stuff like that, girls are smarter than guys in terms of figuring out, because guys are just so surface. So girls can figure out like the couple layers down, and guys, we have, you can explain it until you're blue in the face, and the only way we'll, the way you've got us is when we go, all right, fine, I don't understand what you're saying, but if that's the way it is, and that's the way you want it to be, so
he genuinely
does not see anything.
See anything more. Like, he genuinely doesn't feel like this woman's a concern. He genuinely is like, his heart's in the right place going into this wedding.
Like, if she's doing like it's like a girl who's flirting with a guy, you know, and the guy's talking to her and whatever, and then explains to his girlfriend, oh, she's just being nice. She's not flirting. She holds everybody's hand when she talks to him and kisses him with tongue when they leave.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way she is. Like, seriously. I mean, I don't know if I've ever even seen her with her shirt on. I mean, come on.
To me, it's almost, there's an issue with the wedding also, but it may be too, well, maybe it's never too late to talk about it. Like, if I had to redo my wedding, like, we had a guy at my wedding that was a real close friend of Stacy's. They had slept together years and years and years ago. They'd been best friends, and they slept with each other a couple of times, and she wanted him at the wedding, and I said, you know what, fine, let's have him at the wedding. And I was uncomfortable about it, and if I could do it all over again, I would have said to her, I don't want him there. I just don't want him there.
It would have been more of your day.
Would have been more my day. And I was never threatened by the relationship. Just having him there was irking me. And I should have had the sack to say, you know what? I would rather not have him here. That's my day. This is just about you and I.
And I think that, Miss Wilbanks, that you are, it is your day. And you are allowed, your wedding is one of the few times that you're allowed to be completely selfish, and everyone should understand. And so if there is anything, I mean, this wedding should be about you and your fiance. And when you're up there with the preacher, minister, whoever, then you should only be thinking about the fiance instead of you and your girlfriends having to give the evil eye, like you said, to this other woman.
You don't have to be playing those games. All right, so Jennifer, let's go ahead, and I'm going to put you on hold, and then we'll take a whole bunch of calls for you here, because a lot of people have opinions on it, okay? All right, hold on. All right, voice disguise are off, and Heather, you're on All the Hits Q100. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question for Ms. Wilbanks. who told you that the best friend had said, you know, well, why her? Who told you this?
Hold on 1 second. Voice disguise, we're back on.
Affirmative.
Hey, Jennifer.
Yes.
How'd you find out what this woman was saying about you?
Through a friend.
Not
through one of his friends.
One of his friends.
Maybe he had told her that.
So, your soon-to-be husband told a friend, and that friend told you.
Yeah, I think maybe he didn't want to say it to me to hurt my feelings.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Hey,
very,
Amanda.
Very simple.
Good morning.
Simple.
Hey. First, I want to say I love your show. And
thanks.
My advice to Ms. Wilbanks is to uninvite this ex. I believe she needs to talk to her fiance tonight and be like, listen, I'm not comfortable with her coming. We need to not invite her anymore. And I think that he should understand that. It's her day, and she's going to have this thought in the back of her mind the whole day if the girl shows up.
I totally agree. And I'll take it one step further than that. If they get married and this woman is still Jennifer is still upset, then I think that she has every right to say, look, this is not a person we can have in our life. I'm not comfortable.
Definitely. I had a similar situation, and you can't have exes in the relationship, and you definitely can't have them at the wedding.
Agreed.
And I think with the wedding, also think if 10 years from now you're looking at the wedding photos and the first thing in your mind is not the drama or the frustration you had that day over this some random woman.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
Hey.
Question for the caller was her general concern about the friend causing a disturbance. Was she concerned about the friend causing a disturbance during the objection part of the ceremony?
Yes.
I've heard of similar concerns with other people's marriages where they've been concerned about a party in the congregation, maybe playing a joke or seriously objecting to the two people being married. It's actually a pretty common practice now with the way marriages are customized with the vows and whatnot. You can actually get together with the pastor, and they can actually leave that line out of the ceremony altogether.
You see, I think if you have somebody at your wedding where that is a possibility, that they're going to stand up and say, I object, that person should not be at the wedding. You shouldn't have to go to the pastor. You shouldn't have to alter your traditions, your ceremony, if you've got somebody at the wedding that there's a possibility. And is cut this, it off before it even happens.
And is this a case of a woman trying to be nice and trying to let everything, you know, include everybody and not want to come across as mean or bitchy or whatever, you know? And because that's the thing is, I think too many women, like, she's not doing what she wants because she doesn't want to come across as mean.
Omar disagrees with us. Hey, Omar.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, man.
Hey, you know, I've been listening to this, and really, I think, you know, he's marrying her. She needs to just realize it and be happy with that. I mean, women, I think, have this uncanny knack of turning molehills into mountains.
I don't.
And reading into things.
I don't agree with this. I don't agree with this situation because I do think this woman is trying to sabotage their relationship. And this is a huge ceremony for women, and the fact that this woman's going to come in and purposely try to make her feel uncomfortable at her own wedding is a concern.
Well, to me, it doesn't matter if she's making a mountain out of a molehill or not. It's her wedding.
Right.
She's the bride.
Right.
So whether she is or not, I think is insignificant.
Unless this is a deal breaker. Unless there's a bigger issue. I mean, we don't have him on the line here, right. So we don't know the whole story. But this may be a line in the sand for him, too. I mean, if it's that big an issue, then yeah, they probably shouldn't get married tomorrow.
Isn't it like a Geneva Convention rule or something, though, that whatever the woman wants for the wedding gets, like the guy shouldn't even argue it?
Right.
Argue with it? Yeah.
Once you propose and she says yes, get out of the way.
Yeah. Right. Game on.
Talitha, you're going to be the last call on All the Hits Q100. Hi. Hello? That makes things easy. And we are back to Jennifer. Can we get the voice disguiser on?
Yes, sir.
Yellow?
Yes.
Did you hear all of that?
Yeah, I did.
What do you think?
I think maybe I am just making something out of nothing. I mean, I really could be.
Well, you also have to remember, Will Banks, this is your day, okay?
Will Banks.
This is seriously your day. I understand how, with everything that goes on, getting ready for your wedding, planning your wedding, all of the stress of everything, that this could be an exaggerated thing that's stressing you out. That this could be something that's causing you cold feet. But you know what? Listen to that voice in your head and don't let her ruin your wedding day. This is your day.
Okay.
Bert. I'm sorry.
Are you going directly on your honeymoon?
Yes,
sir. You are? Okay. I wanted to check in with you on Monday, but if you're going to be gone.
Going with you, guys?
No.
Bert had mentioned earlier about line in the sand. Has he made a big, I mean, when you've brought her up, or do you think that if you said, I don't want her to come tomorrow, I mean, do you think he will make an issue out of it, or do you think that he doesn't care?
No, I think he would make an issue of it. In fact, I know he would make an issue of it.
So he would say, look, if you don't want her there, then I'm sorry that we can't get married?
No, he wouldn't say that, but he would be definitely, we need to talk afterwards type thing.
Why?
Well, just because they have been such great friends. I mean, it is probably what you were saying about how he probably just doesn't notice it. And, I mean, it was...
You think
a lot of the time, and a lot of the callers you get, their best friends don't even want to believe that, you know, their, you know, significant other or their other best friend or anything like that. Like, even though they know they might be telling the truth, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the difference here, though, from what you're comparing it to, is the fact that you're his fiance. Like, it may be conservative, but I do think in order, ranking order, you come first, especially on your wedding day.
Of course, yeah.
You know, so, I mean...
If you're going to be uncomfortable even a little bit on your own wedding day, then you got to eliminate what's going to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
And again, they're not just best friends. They were together at one point, right?
For a little bit, yes.
I was there. I wish I would have handled it differently. I wish I would have bucked up and said, Stace, I don't want him at the wedding.
Okay. And this is from somebody that's already been through it, you know? Be selfish. You're the bride.
Can we get your numbers and call you when you get back from your honeymoon?
Or on your honeymoon?
Yes. No, not on the honeymoon.
Yeah, when you get back, we'll talk to you about it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Good luck.
It's your day.
And I know guys, you know, you talk about women and their complex minds. This best friend is conniving.
Yeah.
This best friend wants this man.
She's living the Julia Roberts side of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this other woman is.
The Burt Show.